Right. Well, good morning. I'm going to do something I don't do very often. Last week when I spoke, we found out afterwards the sound didn't work on the camera and the sound didn't work up in the sound booth. So what I want to do is take a few minutes and review last week's study. They kind of laced together. And if you weren't here last week, you'll get to hear it this week in a shortened form, although I try never to be long-winded. I thought I might get somebody to say, oh, yeah.
No, we're being nice today.
Oh, good. You're behaving yourself for a change is what you mean. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and verse 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love others as I have loved you, that you also might love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Pretty simple, right? He's saying, I want you to love others the way I've loved you, and others will know that you're my disciples by the fact that you do love others the way that I love you. Now, I know that's never a challenge. Here is the paper that I offered and read from last week. Several people got copies. If you want a copy from the office, you can have it. And it's my version of 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? And I don't understand some of the King James words and all that, so I had to put it in words I understand. And it's basically, love is not a feeling. If it was, we would really have a problem fulfilling what God tells us to do. Because sometimes it takes time for our feelings to line up with our decision. And basically, what the 1 Corinthians 13 is saying, I am going to predetermine how I'm going to hurt you, how I'm going to minister to you or care about you. It says, love is willing to wait. And we talked about this last week. Love considers others both in word and deed. Love is glad when good things happen to others. Love accepts others for who they are. Love does not think they are better than others. Love does not insist on having its own way. Love does not interrupt. Love does not get angry easily. Love hardly notices when people do wrong, right? Love hardly even notices when people do wrong. Oh, you guys must be saints. I'm glad. Wow. Love does not like it when people are treated wrong. Love looks for the best in people, and we will never quit considering, caring, and loving someone as long as they live. And then I have on the bottom of the paper something that is really important to me and challenges me. And it says, love always assumes the best. Amen. Is that ever a challenge to you? There are times it's a challenge to me. Okay? But if we make a determination ahead of time, what are we going to do? When we're challenged, we're going to assume the best, right? Good morning. Shall we start again? The other paper that I recommend that talks about love is Relational Declarations. Okay? And I believe it's good to decide ahead of time how you're going to deal with somebody than wait to and let your emotions have their way. Any of you ever struggle with your emotions trying to get ahead of us? I'm not really emotional, but boy, there's times my emotions would love to rule my life. And I have determined ahead of time. So I want to read this quickly too. I will not allow how somebody deals with me to determine how I'm going to deal with them. I will not be offended. I will forgive even as God has forgiven me. Satan is the enemy, not my brother or sister. Amen. All right? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that.
Yes.
Okay? I love, accept, and bless them as God commanded me to, just as God, love them just as God loves me. My relationship with others is more important than being right. I want to stop right here for a minute. My relationship with others is more important than being right.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Hey, we all struggle with it from time to time, like it or not.
Yes.
Okay? Where am I at? I will not speak evil of my brother or sister. I will choose to focus on their strengths and not on their weaknesses. I will bless them and not curse them with my words. I will not rehearse their offenses. I will not rehearse their offenses. I will not rehearse their offenses. I will do all the above as God gives me the strength, desire, and ability. Our verse that we started with is, he said, I am going to give you a new command. Last week, I talked about that issue. What was he given a new command for? He was simply saying, in the Old Testament, they wound everything all up with saying, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And he's saying this. He's saying, listen, I don't want that as our motto anymore. What's the motto going to be? I'm going to love others the way that God loves me. And sometimes it will take, I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes it takes me a while to get my emotions to line up with my decision. Okay? So I want to encourage you to work on our love walk. And I believe at times we are all challenged with that. Because the enemy wants to separate and divide us. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And so it's important that we go into real relationships with the truth. Amen? Now, another verse that I talked about is Romans 12, 21. It says this, be not overcome with evil,
overcome evil with good.
But overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad Bob put that in there for me. Because there are times that I am tempted to return evil for evil. I know none of you are, but occasionally I am. Okay? However, immediately the Holy Spirit, when I start thinking like that, says, listen, I said, don't be overcome with evil, but the way to overcome evil is to do good.
Yes.
And I told a couple stories at the end of our study last week and talked about some people that God led me to bless and help in their difficult times. And I did it intentionally and willfully to love them. And I set my heart that I was going to love them and bless them, and I did that. And I did it for my sake. Because the interesting thing is, the Word says that they will know whose we are by if we love one another. And I know this is an exciting thing because you guys just can't control yourself. But it's something you and I need to hear.
Yes.
Okay? And so it's important when somebody is not treating you right that you don't try to get back by doing evil. We need to grow in that area. All right. That leads me to where I want to pick up this morning. Let's turn to 1 Colossians 1:27. Or Colossians. How about we just do Colossians, not 1 Colossians? Just checking to see if you're awake. All right, we're going to do Colossians. I have first in my notes. That's the funny part. Colossians 1:27. It says this. Let me see if I got it right. 1 Colossians 1:27. Okay. And to whom would I make known unto the riches of the glory of the mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you? I want to talk about Christ in us. He says, the only hope you and I have to behave and look like Jesus is what? If Christ lives in us. I want to talk about Christ living in us for a few minutes this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. John 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me read it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a great teacher come from God, for no man could do the miracles that you do except God was with him. And God answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What an interesting response to what he had to say. Jesus just took it on a whole other trail because he knew the answer that Nicodemus needed to hear. So he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? And so he's saying, What kind of teaching is this? How can I, as a grown-up, be born again? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. And basically, he was simply saying to him, Listen, how many of you were born naturally? I suspected some of you weren't. Oh. Just kidding. No, we were all born naturally, okay? And Jesus says, if you aren't born both naturally and spiritually, then you can't do what? So, we all understand naturally, especially when a woman's pregnant and is getting about like this, we can see it's very obvious they're pregnant. But Jesus is talking to John about a spiritual being born again. And he says, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. Basically, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. How many of you know that? We're pretty familiar with the body. We have to deal with that all the time, right? Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Okay? That's the other part. And then the other part is we have a spirit. When we are born, our spirit is empty. And because it is not natural, it is spiritual. And what happens is God leads us to invite the Holy Spirit to come and dwell and live in us. I will never forget the day I did that. It changed my life, and my life has never been the same. Because when I did, His Spirit came to live in me. And Jesus is saying that's the only way we're going to have, enter into a relationship with God and have eternal life is if we have been born again. And it happens by us simply inviting God to come and take His rightful place in our spirit. Yeah. And that's why He's saying unless we're born spiritually, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Where am I at? Can we go to turn to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. And I want to start with this. Verse 16, 5:16 says this. And this I say, walk. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By the way, he said there is a spiritual man and there is a natural man. Okay? And he's saying this. He said, if we will walk in the Spirit, in other words, if the Spirit is living in us, then the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. True? How many of you have God speak to you? That's what He wants. He wants a relationship with us, okay? And so He says, so if you will walk in the Spirit, you will not cater to the flesh. What do we know about the flesh?
Sometimes it's devilish.
It is sinful and devilish and self-willed, and we could go on and on, okay? Because it is made of the flesh. But that which is made of the Spirit... Okay, let me go on and read about the flesh because I haven't heard many people read this before. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And what else? And the Spirit ever had the battle happen?
Yes.
The flesh or the Spirit? Who's going to win? And there, if the Spirit of God is not in there, the flesh is going to win. But once we invite Jesus to come into our life and be Lord of our life, then we can do battle because the Spirit of God will be with us and for us. Amen. And He will walk and talk with us, and the battle begins to rage. By the way, in some cases, you realize there was no battle until you got saved because you just did what the flesh wanted to do.
Right.
Not none of you, though. Okay. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you would. In other words, when your flesh wants to do something and the Holy Spirit says no, what do? We say, by your grace, God, no. In other words, I am not strong enough in myself to triumph, but because His Spirit lives in me, I can win over the lies of the evil one and refuse to give them place. But If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murdering, drunkenness, rivalness, such like, of which I tell you before, told you before, as I have told you in past times, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, all those fleshly behaviors are contrary to God and His ways, and when that spirit comes in and tries to rule you, your flesh, what do we need to do? We need to cry out to God, because the Spirit of God that lives in you is greater than the flesh. And we have the power through Jesus Christ to triumph over the flesh.
Amen.
At least half of you believe me. Mm-hmm. How many of you have ever been in the battle?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. How many of you won the battle?
Amen.
How many have lost the battle? How many have had to fight the battle till they finally triumph? One of the things that was the most amazing things that ever happened in my life, and you've heard me tell this story if you've been around me, but it was so life-changing, I'm going to tell it again. You know, my wife and I got back together after we were separated, and one of the things that I had a problem with was her weight when we were separated. And one day we were going out of the Burger King up here on Silver Springs, and they had made us a sandwich wrong, so they threw it in with the other sandwiches. We started driving down the road, and she ate her sandwich, and she reached into the bag to pull out another sandwich. And I looked at her and said, "What are you doing?" Of course, in a sweet, darling attitude, right? And she looked at me with her sweet, darling attitude and said, "I'm hungry." I know none of you would expect my darling wife to behave like that, but that was the one time in the life she behaved like that. And then a minute later, all of a sudden, I said to her, "I love you no matter what you do." Let me tell you something. That wasn't what was in my flesh at that moment. But I tell you something. The Spirit overruled the flesh, and I was as shocked at what came out of my mouth as she was. But what was it? Listen, when we are born again, the Spirit of God will live in us and dwell in us, and we have the power through the Spirit to triumph over the flesh.
Amen.
And that's why it's so important that we must be born again. Because our flesh man will lead us down the wrong path that we don't really want to take. And it's important that we turn our life over to God and invite Him to come in, because then you can win the fight. Any of you ever have that fight?
Yes.
Yes. Even as believers, we're going to have that fight, because the enemy will come in with a lie and try to get us to act on that lie, because he wants to rob, kill, and destroy us. And we have to decide who we're going to yield to. Are we going to yield to the Spirit, or are we going to yield to the flesh? The good news is, if you've been born again in the Spirit, you have the power to triumph over your flesh.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It doesn't mean you will. You do have the power.
Yes.
You have to choose who you're going to serve.
That's right.
Because who you yield to, you become a servant thereof.
That's right.
And it's important that if you haven't been born again and haven't invited Jesus to come into your life, that you do that, because that's the only way you're going to triumph over sin that wants to destroy you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, Satan wants to destroy you. And how do you do battle against him without the Spirit of God doing it through you? Because he wants to rule through you over your flesh. Amen? All right, where am I at? However, let's finish with this here. Verse 22, Galatians 5:22 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, it tells us if the Spirit is ruling in our life, we can determine whether it's God's Spirit or the flesh, right?
Yes.
Because there's a whole list there. We'll tell you what God, what is of God and what's not. And so, this morning, one of the things I want to do is, if you have never invited Jesus to come and live in your spirit, you can't do it soon enough.
Amen.
Because you can begin to win the battles that the enemy is throwing at you, because his spirit is greater than the spirit of the evil one. And he will do for you just like he does me. Anytime the enemy comes along with a lie, as soon as the enemy lies to me, you know what the Holy Spirit says? Lie. Just like when I want tempted to do evil for good, the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. I said, do good for evil. And so the Holy Spirit will not only tell you what to do, but he will empower you to do it. And if you think you can beat him in your strength, you're deceived. But I tell you something, if God is with you, if God is for you, who can be against you? And you can have victory over death, sin, and hell. Okay? But if you haven't done that, invited Jesus to come and live in your spirit, you're on your own, and that is a tough place to win, because the enemy wins a lot more than any other than what we can do in our own strength. Amen? So this morning, I just want to give you guys a chance that haven't said, yes, Spirit of God, come and live in me and rule in my life. I want to give you that chance to do that this morning, because you can begin to win the battles, and Satan will begin to lose the battles because of his spirit abiding in you. Amen?
Amen.
So, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have our prayer warriors come up front. And let's close with a word of prayer. And they, if you would like somebody to join with you and invite the Holy Spirit to come in, they would be glad to do that with you. Yes, well. Yes.
I never thought about it before.
Yes.
And it was like the Holy Spirit saying we celebrate our kingdom, but we should even more celebrate the
baby. Yes.
Born into his kingdom. And I don't remember that exact date. I remember that what happened that day, but I don't remember what date it was.
Huh.
I don't know, it's just your message is awesome this morning.
Well, I would pick a day that's close to that day and celebrate, because we have, by the way, I celebrate it every day. Because I know without him in me, I'm a sinner, and I'm going to sin, and it's going to destroy me, and it's going to devour me. And so I am so thankful that God brought me to the end of myself. By the way, it was a six-month journey for God to bring me to the end of myself. Some of you aren't as strong-willed as I was. Okay? It took him 6 months to do that before I finally said, yes, you be the boss of my life. Because I like the idea of me being in charge. So this morning, let's close with a word of prayer, can we, God? We just thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you want to have a relationship with us. And that you said that we can be born again, that we might triumph over the lies and the powers of the enemy in our flesh. And you said we can win the contention, because you said that there's a battle that goes on in that. And so today, God, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to draw those who have never done it and give them the courage to say yes, that they might have a relationship with you and triumph over the lies of the evil one and say no to their flesh. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. And you can come up and pray if you would like. Yes.
Okay. I accepted the Lord long before that. But wow. There's part of it.
Wow, cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is cool. Yeah, that's cool.